Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
You asked for them, and now we've got them. To celebrate hitting the 2 million download mark, we are running a 2-week-long t-shirt campaign. So, if you wanted to show off your love for your favourite horror podcast, then head over to www.hawkandcleaver.com/shirts. There you'll be redirected to the campaign page. The t-shirts are available in black and white, and in any size of your choosing, but we do need to sell a minimum of 10 shirts for the campaign to be successful. So, head over to hawkandcleaver.com/shirts and grab yours today.
The 6-Minute Club, written by James Emberson. Narrated by Justin Fife.
Welcome to Heartiness, Fairmont, Mr. Morgan. Are you ready to open your heart to enlightenment?
The old man looked down at Jed, his eyes and teeth yellow in the stuttering glow of the candles. He brought the veil down over Jed's face and secured it at the back of his head, its straps pinching his hair and skin. Jed turned to face the applause. It grew from a modest murmur into a thundering chorus, hundreds of hands coming together in unison. It was hard to make out the shapes of people in the audience, even though he knew they were there. Their white masks were just about visible, their black hoods obscured by the darkness. They looked like movie ghosts, soft around the edges. The auditorium was vast, its steep sides rising into an endless night. Jed looked up to the top, and felt his knees quake, his chest contracting. The ceremony was about to begin. There was no going back now. The old man led Jed down to the operating table, its surface slick and pristine white. It glistened in the artificial light from a chandelier overhead, and as Jed sat on the soft edge of the bed, he caught a glimpse of the saws, scalpels, and scissors laid out on a large steel tray. A moment of panic set in then, but the anesthetic quickly took hold, and his heart rate settled back into a steady rhythm. Hands emerged from the darkness and guided him into a reclined position, strapping his arms at the wrists and elbows. The old man leaned over him, dipping his head close enough to block out some of the light from the chandelier. His breath was sour with age, but not unpleasant. Jed watched his cracked lips moving as he spoke.
You are not here to seek meaning. You are here to understand not just your place in this world, but humanity's place.
His voice was a whisper, but the small microphone on his lapel amplified the words to the hundreds of listening ears. Jed nodded, a warm feeling seeping through the muscles in his neck and back.
Not all of those chosen will experience enlightenment. If you are fortunate, you will gain some insight offered only to you, and no other.
The old man's stench was stronger now, but Jed breathed it in. It was soothing somehow.
Do you open your heart to enlightenment?
Jed nodded again, letting the old man adjust the veil over his face.
Good. Then we will begin.
Sand as far as the eye can see, hot grains burning his skin. He kneels, sunlight scratching his eyes. In the distance, shapes move against the horizon. One or two at first, then a dozen or more. As they approach, their number grows. Soon there are hundreds of them stretching across the desert, their forms emerging from the haze. He watches them, paralyzed. Is it fear or awe that stops him from moving? The first of them passes by without a word. The only sound comes from the crunch of its feet across the sand and the bubbling of the liquid in its pipe. It's not like any pipe he's seen before. The ornate carvings and leathery tubes are idols of an ancient culture, a relic from some other, older time. Others pass him by. Their collective crunching and bubbling grow to thunder in his ears. He wants to bury his head in his hands, but this would be disrespectful. Somehow, he knows it would anger them. The procession continues on into the night, the blue sky above turning purple as the tribe maintains its steady rhythm, ignoring his presence as it passes. The sky is black and dotted with stars when one of them takes hold of his chin and lifts his face from his chest. Its mask is green and carved with the features of a warrior. Its long hair rests against its back, and he can smell something bitter on its skin. The creature draws more liquid into its pipe and detaches one of the leathery tubes. As he kneels before it, unable to move, the creature pushes the end of the tube over his nose. He watches the mask as his lungs fill with smoke. Within seconds, its features begin to twist, curl, and morph. They form into patterns, codes, and scripts before finally settling into shapes that look like little people. The people multiply in number until they fill the mask all the way to the edges. They walk, run, and embrace each other. They group into families and play together. They are joyful. Without warning, the mask clears and the people disappear in a wave of green smoke. Tears fill his eyes. His heart is sore. The creature's mask fades back to its original form, and the ancient warrior pulls the tube from the man's nose. It stands and plugs the tube back into its pipe, the bubbles rising and falling once more in a steady, intoxicating rhythm.
Crush them. Kill them all.
It says, before moving on with the rest of the tribe into the night, leaving him alone in the sand. Jed first heard about the Cardinus Verbote, or the Six-Minute Club as it is more commonly known, through one of his clients. Buck Stevens was a medtech billionaire playboy who'd made his money from cancer bots and now indulged in all the pleasures his lifestyle allowed. There wasn't a hobby, kink, or investment opportunity that didn't make it onto his bucket list, and Buck had just received his invitation to join Cardinus Verbote.
It's ultra fucking exclusive, man.
He sat back on a sofa, champagne spilling from the flute in his hand. The view from the top deck of his yacht was incredible. It was little wonder that supermodels flocked to Buck's parties by the truckload.
Even some of the world's top surgeons have had to wait years to join.
Jed sipped at his beer. What makes it so exclusive?
What it offers, man.
Buck sat up again, the Coke shake starting to kick in. He took another vial from his top pocket and pushed it up into his nostril. The powder disappeared up his nose in one go.
It's pure fucking oblivion.
Jed took a seat and looked down at the phone on the table between them. The app showed that Buck's transfer of $1 million had been completed.
It must be pretty exclusive for $1 million, said Jed.
Buck flung his arms out at his sides, spilling more champagne on the boat's deck.
It's everything, man. the meaning of life, the reason we're here.
He drained the last of the champagne.
The reason we're born, the reason we die.
An out-of-body experience. Buck shook his head.
6 golden minutes.
He coughed and spluttered, rubbing his nose with the back of his hand.
It starts the moment they stop your heart. Ends the moment they start it again.
He thumped his chest with one fist, then the other. Sounds dangerous. Total nuts if you ask me, said Jed, taking another mouthful of beer. Buck filled his glass with more champagne.
The only way you can truly live is when you're walking that tightrope, man. The thin line between life and death. Not tempted to find out what your subconscious spews up when it thinks you're on your way out?
Jed shook his head. I'm just fine doing what I'm doing, thanks. Don't need to fuck with that brain shit for kicks. Buck shrugged his bony shoulders and drained his glass.
Fine, man. You keep on with that marketing bullshit you put out on the internet.
He leaned forward towards Jed, elbows perched on his knees.
But the only way you're gonna go from 1 mil to 10 mil is if you open up this power.
He tapped the side of his head with the champagne flute.
The shit you can unlock inside here is on some other level. Astral, man. Hardcore physics and shit.
Jed finished his beer and put the empty bottle on the floor at his feet. This new stuff we're working on is gonna take me to 10 mil, so I don't need to fuck around with my heart or brain. It's the next big thing in digital marketing.
It's pocket money to me, bro. Just a little flutter to keep the juices flowing.
Buck reached down and picked up Jed's empty bottle. He stood up and launched it over the side of the boat, narrowly missing Jed's head.
But if you're not prepared to stretch your mind, expand your horizons, our shit's gonna fail, and I don't fail.
They had failed. They had failed big time. The next big thing in digital marketing turned out to be a total flop. Apparently, consumers didn't take too kindly to having their shopping behaviors mapped and predicted in line with major events in their lives. Jed couldn't understand it. Why wouldn't you want to receive offers on flowers and black suits when your mother dies? Who doesn't need to sign up for a dating app when their husband has cheated on them? Consumers didn't know what was good for them. The one saving grace was the software's ability to track and predict a customer's emotions in response to any possible situation at any point during their daily life. Governments and militaries around the world had been working to develop the same kind of software for years, all of them without success. Jed and Buck's program held the key to such powerful insights into the hearts and minds of the masses. With that kind of information to hand, any dictator or tyrant could exert control over their people and crush political uprisings before they'd even become a concept. A number of foreign dignitaries had already been in touch, but Jed had managed to fend them off and keep Buck in the dark about their communications. When their latest financial statement gave the company just 2 weeks to live, Buck gave Jed an ultimatum.
I've paid the fee. We're both in together. If you say no, I'm pulling my money and we're over.
He threw an envelope on the boardroom table.
A car will pick you up at 8 tomorrow. Don't let me down.
The white light blinded him. He tried to raise a hand to block it out, but there was no strength in his arm. His body was totally drained, and everything ached. Each breath in was like a knife twisting clockwise in his chest. Each breath out was the same knife twisting anti-clockwise. There was a noise somewhere off to his right. A high-pitched squealing, squeaking, rattling. He managed to move his head a fraction to the side. Buck leaned over him, his face gray and sickly. His eyes sat in deep, dark craters, and there was dried foam on his lips.
Welcome back to the land of the living, bro.
Jed looked Buck up and down as much as his neck would allow. His billionaire business partner was sat in an old wheelchair. He was wearing a grubby white gown that had spots of black blood around the chest area.
Some fucking trip, bro. You taking a little longer to come around for some reason.
He smiled a demented smile, his hair wild and unbrushed, his shoulders poking at the corners of his gown. Jed tried to move his mouth into shapes that would form words, but it was no use. His chest started to thud a steady beat in protest.
You see what I saw, man?
He checked over his shoulder and then leaned in closer to Jed, whispering now.
That wide blue ocean and those creatures swimming up from the deep. Those motherfuckers were the real shit.
Jed tried to shake his head, move his hand, blink his eyes. Nothing. The beat in his chest went double time. Now he could feel it in his neck and wrists, too. Buck either didn't notice or didn't care.
They showed me the way, man. They showed me the way to save the company, grow it through the motherfucking roof.
The beat doubled again. Jed could feel blood racing to his chest.
That emotion analysis shit. That's what these warmongering dictator fucks want. We can clean up if we sell to them, bro.
His chest was hammering up and down now, as if a creature were trapped inside and wanted out. Buck's face was unchanged. His eyes were bugging, his features twisted with chemical joy. The beeping at the bedside grew louder and faster, but Buck still did nothing.
We're gonna make it to 10 mil before the week is out, bro. I'm shooting for 100 fucking mil before the year's done.
Jed tried to shout, but the words were only inside his head.
No, millions will die. They will crush them all. It'll be the end of everything. Can't you see?
The rhythm of the beeping became unbearable, then droned together into one long, monotonous tone as Jed's heart exploded inside his chest.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Other Stories. The 6 Minute Club was written by James Emerson, narrated by Justin Fife, edited by Carl Hughes, and music by Tom Robson. Once again, you asked for them, and now we've got them. To celebrate hitting the 2 million download mark, we are running a 2-week-long t-shirt campaign. So if you wanted to show off your love for your favourite horror podcast, then head over to hawkandcleaver.com/shirts, and there you'll be redirected to the campaign page. The t-shirts are available in black or white and in any size of your choosing, but we do need to sell a minimum of 10 shirts for the campaign to be successful. So, head over to hawkandcleaver.com/shirts and grab yours today. Until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.